Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. We got a great show planned for you. DMs, they'll be popping later in the show. So if you got a DM for us, that means you got a question, something you want answered, something's on your mind, something you want us to talk about, maybe even something you want us to circle back and drop deeper into. Put all those beautiful, lovely questions, ideas, and opinions in our DMs on our Loveline IG page. That's where all that magic goes. We're going to be talking about hookup culture. It's going to be opening up with some stats and then talking about how to survive hookup culture. That's right. Mental health intact. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with casual sex. It is part of the normative dating process. Sex isn't bad. What's bad is the way people maybe treat each other or they have false and problematic expectations. But sex is a beautiful, healthy thing for us. So we're going to be opening the first hour just talking about a few stats or whatnot. And then later in the show, we'll be talking about some other ways to kind of survive and conceptualize it. And when I mean survive, I just mean really get through that process with your mental health and emotional health intact. I talk about this on the show often, which is technological advancements and developments. They happen. Some of them have happened through the world of dating and sexuality, and sometimes it's been the inverse, where it's happened in the non-sexual, non-relational world. But of course, sex and relationships find a way to be also further innovated as a result of technological advancements. And I think that's an awesome thing. They kind of feed into each other. We're relational creatures. You know, we're always in relationality, symbolically and literally. Even when we're not with people, when we're literally in solitude, we are still thinking about and connected to. Just because they're not physically present or able to be touched or seen doesn't mean that we're not, again, still thinking about them, considering them, and still very much connected. What does all that mean? Every song's about relationships and sexuality, every movie, every book, you know. Even, as I said, I'm watching a movie that's about someone saving the planet from a, you know, Manhattan-sized asteroid coming to blow us all up. And of course, love is the center point within all of that. It makes us do some wild, wild, wild things. We did an entire show on what love actually really looks like. So tonight we're talking about, though, sexuality. Front end commentary. There's so many different entry points into different people's lives. And this is just one of those different ways. You know, there's so many articles and stats floating around on this topic. And the first one I want to just call out is that we are not having more partners than we necessarily did in the past, which is shocking to some people because they're like, all of these apps, blah, blah, blah. It's an epidemic. People aren't having relationships anymore. Well, hookups are a form of relationality, 100%. And I want us to see them as such, even if you're not going to exchange numbers, become partners, or spend more time together, we still should be seeing it as relational as it is. Sorry, my mind wandered. I'm thinking about a possible article I was going to maybe reference, but I'm going to come back to that another time. So we're not having more partners than we were in the past, even though a lot of people are panicked about that. What's happening is people are talking more confidently about sexuality. So more people are getting tested. More people are talking confidently about it. So we're hearing more about it. But, you know, one of the stats, I think I shared this on another show related to a different topic, but in some of the work I've done with some of these companies, the stats were showing that most people are not actually meeting or hooking up, that about 70% of the people are just on there looking or chatting or trying, but nothing really happens. And that's a really important stat. Only about 30%, maybe 25 to 30% are actually meeting up and actually having some form of sexuality occur. So it's not as rampant as people think. And even if it was, that wouldn't be a bad thing necessarily. But we want to look at the stats and understand that it's not what we think it is. It's a lot of loneliness. It's a lot of people maybe just wanting to connect and be seen. And I think that that's an important thing to remember, is we often misunderstand what some of our drives are really requiring. Sometimes all we want is intimacy. We're not actually looking for sexuality, eroticism. Sometimes we just want to be touched. Sometimes we just want to feel desirable. Sometimes we want to spend time with someone. Sometimes we want to be seen and looked at and cared for. And we don't always have access to that. Why? Well, because we have such powerful boundaries around platonicness. I do want to live in a world where we can have touch with our friends. I don't agree with what people call emotional cheating often. A lot of people think that you're not allowed to have deep friendships or intimacy or vulnerability with your non-romantic partners, but that is part of friendship. Otherwise, what are you doing? Keeping it super superficial? I also want to be able to cuddle with our friends and hold hands with our friends. I think that would be amazing. We have the highest rate of singledom. People still have needs for touch and intimacy, and we should be able to get that met without sexuality or romance. Platonicness should be able to include cuddling, handholding. I'm all for that. That shouldn't have to necessarily be built into a monogamous primary relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to stop being so threatened by that. The intention does matter. The goal does matter. But we need to normalize some of that. We are a very touch-starved culture. We are very much deprived of those deeper forms of intimacy that engagement affords us. All right, we're going to come back and keep talking about this, so stick around. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all, we are back and we're talking about hookup culture because it is misunderstood, it is pathologized, it is shamed. People say things like, well, you're not serious about a relationship, you have intimacy issues, you're a sex addict. No, nope, none of the above. It is okay for us to want to just have sexuality in our lives, but maybe we are not looking for a primary partnership, or maybe we already have it and we're looking for creativity and diversity outside of it. There is no such thing as sex addiction. Yes, people have misunderstanding around their sexuality and they have maybe poor impulse control and boundaries and the suffering and pain is real, but the current model is problematic. We've talked about that on another show, but having a lot of time and energy and space and looking for a lot of intimacy does not make you an addict. And wanting sex that doesn't involve all of these toxicities sometimes around relationality and romance and monogamy does not mean that you are phobic of intimacy. In fact, it might be the opposite, that you're just wanting a lot of it, but you don't want that structure which robs the joy of it. I'm not opposed to anything relationally if a healthy adult is making that decision. But understand that the minute some of us, most of us, enter into primary relationality or monogamy, we start letting our anxiety and jealousy make decisions, and we don't run our relationships in a position of looking out for each other and in a position of trying to expand and grow and transform. We often run our relationships from a point of not wanting to ever be made uncomfortable or to ever feel threatened. And it sucks the freaking joy and life out of love and romance. It sucks it right out. We need to allow more freedom. I will always agree that the way we approach our friendships is how we should approach our primary partnerships, letting go and lightening up. Remember, I say this every episode and I will continue to. We should make people's lives better for being brought into them. If us being in someone's life as their partner or anything else makes their life harder or worse, we need to check ourselves and maybe remove ourselves and do some work and some healing. You are not marrying people and dating them and being brought into their life to restrict and limit and to make it harder. And that is why some people don't even want to step into all of that. They don't want that toxic ownership model and jealousy model applied to them. We need to start being better and dating better and running things better so that people aren't afraid of relationality. But back to hookup culture, there's nothing wrong with it. Most people are out there trying to explore and learn and grow. Not everyone has to want relationship. But people are not having as much sex as we think they are. And people on these apps are primarily not actually hooking up. Current generations are having fewer partners than Gen Xers did. And a lot of this is also about fluidity and leading to friendships. What? Sex can lead to love and friendship? Yes, 100%. Because these are different entry points into relationality and being a part of someone's life. And sometimes we figure out on the front end that the physical, sexual, romantic chemistry and compatibility is there. And then we segue into exploring the other levels. You can start wherever you want. You have to explore all of them. There is no right place to start. Remember, I'll say this all the time. A coffee date, you can only learn so much. You don't learn that much, actually. You learn their favorite color, their family history, where they like to travel on vacation. Great. Awesome. But through sexuality, we learn about their body confidence, their traumas, their triggers, communication, boundaries, how much intimacy they want or can tolerate. If we have those physical, emotional, affectional levels of compatibility and chemistry, it's an important thing to explore. People that are serious about primary relationality and commitment and even monogamy will explore that sooner than later because they know that that's an important part of it. Otherwise, you find out on the back end and you might make each other miserable, realizing it isn't what you thought. Because just because you have a lot in common and you really are attracted to each other, enjoy each other, does not mean that you will have romantic or sexual chemistry or compatibility. They are two separate processes, which is why we know that there are people that are romantic versus sexual in their orientation. You have a romantic orientation, which is the gender choice that you like to have romantic relationships with, which is separate from, at times, what you are sexually and erotically oriented towards. We know that those are two different processes that for many people are very aligned, but they can also be separate. Now, here's where it gets really, really clunky. Hookup culture, just like sexuality in general, is very gendered. Those that are penis owners tend to fare far better within hookup culture than other anatomy-based individuals. What does that mean? It means that we know that females or vagina owners that have sex with the same gender tend to have orgasms more frequently and consistently than the opposite when they're with an opposite gendered partner. We will talk about that later. We'll talk about how to fix that. But I want to also call that out, that the impact on different gender expressions within hookup culture is very diverse. Now, when I talk about surviving, what I really mean is the mental health part, meaning not having your expectations wrong, not having yourself disappointed, understanding what's possible. And we're going to really, really break that part down because, again, these shouldn't be things that we enter that harm us. Excuse me. Now, it's also gendered because we used to think and still think that it is people that are male that really are guiding and seeking this, but that is not true. Women are not reluctant participants. The studies are showing that more and more women are interested in casual encounters. Why? Well, because of things like less slut shaming, more female empowerment, body empowerment, sexual empowerment, women earning more and being more rooted in a career, which builds confidence, all sorts of amazing things. So women are propelling hookup culture. And we also know from a lot of the research that women at the more elite universities are actually choosing hookups because they see relationships as too demanding and potentially too distracting from their current professional and educational goals. And they're saying, I want sexuality. I want to feel desirable. I want to have fun. I want to have romance. But right now they're saying, while in school, I'm focusing on my education and my career. And I will figure out relationality after that. But I want to have some fun in the meantime. So women are really leading that charge. And I love seeing that. So women in their sexual prime, as we deem it, in their 20s and 30s, are more successful than a lot of the single men around them. And this is impacting a lot of, you know, reprioritization of goals. It's shifting. Where in the past, it was really presented as though women should only care about and only did about marriage and kids and all of that. And now they have other goals and other dreams and other interests. And they're delaying all of that, if even stepping into that. I like people having more choice and more liberation. Coming up next, though, we're going to keep talking about hookup culture. Later in the show, we'll talk about ways to navigate it better. So stick around. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, we are back and we're breaking down hookup culture and we're talking about how it's gendered, how we used to think it was men that were propelling it and men that were centering themselves. Now we're seeing that it's women, and that women from actually the more elite universities are the ones that are primarily choosing hookups because they're focusing on their education and their careers. And they're like, hey, I don't need to be weighed down by all the drama and relationships, which I think is really about the fact that we don't know how to be good partners. And that's why people are kind of turned off by it. So it's not that relationships have to get in the way. Healthy ones would be actually supportive and encouraging, but the way we run them is quite problematic. So a lot of women are saying, look, I'm just going to hook up, get my sexual, you know, affectional needs met. And no longer are we saying that women's only goal in life is marriage and families and a home. Thank God. And women are like, I want a career. Maybe I'll have kids and a family down the road, if even at all. Or maybe I'll just date casually. I mean, we're really expanding on our boundaries. Before, we thought that the only options were single or married. Now we know that you don't have to get married. You can have a kid on your own. You can have a kid with a friend. You can have an open relationship. You can be polyamorous. There's so many different ways of expressing love and relationality. And these ways have always somewhat existed. They're just now more normalized and there's more research behind them. People can work with therapists and better understand all this. But the show isn't about that. We're just kind of talking about a hookup culture. And excuse me, I'm thinking about what I want to say before I get into the discussion about how to survive it. I guess one final kind of comment I do want to make in reference to a lot of the pathologizing that happens with people that are on sex and dating apps and that are, you know, having, you know, multiple partners. There's this idea that they have more STDs and STIs. And it's actually quite the opposite, that a lot of people that are sexually active are more aware of their sexual health and they're getting more tests. And those tests, of course, then are showing maybe higher rates of positives, but that's because more people are getting tested, not because more people are getting STDs and STIs because of hookup culture. So let me say that one more time. The reason why some stats are showing higher rates of STD and STI positives is because more people are finally getting tested and talking about it. Not because hookup culture has led to that. It's because more people are actually knowing their status. That's the shift. That's a good thing. And also one more thing to add to that, to those that are knocking the apps as gross or problematic, know that those that are hooking up more on the apps are also hooking up more off of them. Those are just people that are more sexual, and they're more sexual online and offline. So it's not about just the apps. It's just how that person moves through the world. More power to you. If you have the time and energy to have a lot of sex partners, awesome. There's no magic right number. There's no number that if you exceed it, you become a sex addict. Just like with, you know, alcoholism, no one says, how many drinks do you have? Oh, that not enough, not an alcoholic. No, it's the way it impacts you, whether or not it's a problem. So it's not about what you're doing. It's really how you're doing it. And also for those that maybe think, oh, you know, it's a problem. These, you know, relationships that are forming online don't maybe have the strength or stability of those that meet in real time. Well, again, it doesn't matter where you meet a partner. How you meet them or where you meet them doesn't determine the health of the relationship. If you met someone online, or if you met someone during a hookup, or if you met someone during an orgy, none of those things determine the quality or health or sustainability of your relationship. You know what does? The partners in it and how healthy they are. So it doesn't matter how you met your significant other, whether on an app, in a back alley, at the gym, through your mom, at church, or in an orgy. It matters, the health of the people matter. So remember that. Internet dating and hookup culture can be a positive because many people meet through a hookup and realize, I like you, you're pretty cool, the chemistry's there, let's get coffee, let's exchange numbers, let's hang out. It's just a different entry point. So I wanna normalize that. There is an increase in socialization around this. Some people have found their husbands or their best friends through that world. So if you're really looking to be out in the world more and you want to learn about yourself and you want to better understand your sexuality and you really do want to find a partner, that might be an access point for you or not, and that is okay as well. There's no right way, there's no wrong way. But I will always say, whatever you determine to be the right way for you and whatever you determine to be the wrong way, at least be psychologically mature enough to ask yourself why and how you came to that choice. Is that born out of empowerment or is that born out of anxiety and shame? Because any decision or boundary you set out of your anxiety and shame and fear isn't a healthy one. You want to make it from a place of, I've looked at all the different options. I've looked at why I might choose those things. And I determine that this is the right reason. This is the right decision for me. And here's why. That has more meaning and value to me. So really process that. Always ask yourself, why am I choosing what I'm choosing? And why am I moving away from what I'm moving away from? Okay. Coming up next, we're going to be we're going to be doing some DMs, and then we're going to come back and we're going to keep talking about hookup culture. And because here's the thing, remember, we're looking at the impact any process we're a part of has on us. And if it doesn't have a positive or enhancing quality or consequence to it, well, then we're kind of making some changes. We're being more mindful. We're looking at why we're making the choices we're making. And sexuality is often something that people really don't dive into as a way to learn about themselves and as a way to look at their mental health and their boundaries and their traumas. But it can be such a healing site for all that. So we're going to come back and talk about that. But again, DMs next. If you got a DM for us, that's a question, a topic, something you want us to hit, circle back to. Drop it in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Past episodes of the show are over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, reshare, re-listen, all sorts of good stuff. Stick around, though. We'll be back. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. Stick around, y'all. All right, y'all. We are back, and now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Someone says, hey, Dr. Chris, I've been with my partner for 2 years. He's a lot younger than me. We have a 9-year age difference. He's also recently been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, so we've been navigating that together. The other day, he told me he was too young to be tied down, wanted to explore other people and other things, and that broke my heart. The next morning, he said maybe new medication will help him and he doesn't want to leave me. I love him, but I'm not sure if it's his youngness talking or if it's his bipolar. How can I tell the difference? You can't, because it doesn't quite work like that. You can't separate things out and say, oh, that's your age speaking over there, and that's your mental health speaking over there, and that's your social circle over there. It's all intertwined and woven. And remember, bipolar disorder isn't a thing. It's a label we give to a cluster of symptoms. And there's all different ways that that's expressed and all different ways that that exists. And we don't want to make a lot of decisions and decide who someone is stereotypically based on that. More importantly, this is someone who sounds confused. If one day they're thinking, I want to explore more, and the other day they don't, this sounds like someone who's ambivalent. Don't buy into either answer. Let them go on a little bit of an explorative journey. Trust me, I appreciate it's very hard for your partner to one day say, I don't want to do this anymore. And then the next day they're like, nah, I'm all in. It's very chaotic. I would set a boundary around it with them and say, listen, I can't have you coming day in and day out saying you want to be here. The next day you don't. How about you take some time and we stay together and you sit and you figure out what it is you think you want. And then you come back and you let me know, but I don't need a daily update. Because remember, some people's needs will change day by day based on what their mood is. And if we've got a mental health diagnosis, that sometimes can make it better, that sometimes can make it worse. Medication, would that help with this? Well, yes and no. Medication doesn't quite work in the way you or your partner might be thinking it does. So again, looking out for you, you're on the receiving end of this indecisiveness. And so again, have your partner take some time, maybe get into some therapy and figure out who they want to be and who they want to be with. But, you know, lovingly step outside of that. I don't want you to be ping pong balling back and forth. But if I was working with your partner, I'd also want to remind your partner that, yes, there are sexual and romantic developmental milestones that we want to go through. But there are some people that don't necessarily go through all of them and they find someone that they want to be with. And that, you know, who we are down the road is dependent upon that. But whether or not we've done certain things doesn't always make our present situation feel any better. And I noticed that with people going into drug and alcohol rehab, they'll say, oh, I just got to go out with one more big bang before I get sober. Awesome. But unfortunately, sometimes people die when doing so. And the second thing is, you know, once you're in treatment and you're out of treatment and you're sober, your sense of sobriety has nothing to do with whether or not you had that one big bash. All that to say, our history determines our future, but it doesn't necessarily determine the comfort we have with our future. And we might make meaning out of it as though we're missing out on something. But sometimes people that have had less, have had fewer relationships tend to be healthier relationally because they have less baggage and trauma and damage. So there's a benefit to having had few partners. But again, more importantly, I'm looking out for your mental health, and I don't want you to be on the receiving end of this ambivalence. So I'd just set a boundary around that, saying it's a little unkind and a little emotionally toxic for me to get a daily update. So either stay with me and let's take some time, or let's part ways and take some time. But either way, I don't need you constantly sharing that with me. And I need you to really kind of figure out who you want to be. This is a tough one because I don't know how young this person is. This can happen whether there's an age gap or not. This happens in relationships where people have been together for years and they're the same age. So this isn't necessarily a sign of age. I think this is a personality style. This person might just be commitment phobic. This person might be someone who struggles with intimacy. This person might be someone who's not feeling safe vocalizing some issues they have with you, and they don't think they ever will, and so they think they need to leave. I don't know, and that's why therapy can be very helpful with people really kind of figuring out what is the meaning or function of this indecisiveness, because there's a function in it, and I'd want that person to figure out what that process and behavior is about. But again, I want you to protect yourself from constantly getting these daily updates, because that's going to be very dysregulating for you. Questions come from our Loveline DMs. If you've got a question for us or a topic you want us to hit, drop them in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Otherwise, past episodes of the show is over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, re-listen, and share. Lots of good stuff over there because, you know, got to unlearn and then relearn. It's all about the repetition. It really is, because the world is rarely feeding us the messaging that we need or giving us the tools and the skills. So we got to find alternative ways of getting those needs met. Anywho, we'll be back. So stick around, y'all. We got a lot more to come. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be back. All right, we're back, and we're talking about how to survive in hookup culture. It's a natural, necessary part of life. Why? Well, remember, we do have sexual, relational, developmental milestones to go through. Sexuality is not natural. People are like, oh, sex is natural. No, it's not. It is so culturally created and socially created. What we consider sex, what we don't consider sex, how we feel about it, what we do, what we don't do. It's tied to our gender and our class and our race and what's normal, what's not. There's nothing normal about it. Like I've said on the show before, most of us are not actually even having authentic sexuality because we are afraid of being seen as a sex addict or being seen as a slut, or because we're a mom, we won't do certain things. And because we're a hetero or a man, we won't do certain things. And all of these levels of shame and whatnot get in the way. And so we do want to go through developmental milestones. Sex is something we learn about through practice. There's nothing wrong with that. The more sex you have, the more confident you'll be in your sexual body, with your sexuality, with others. And that's why, you know, when we're younger, we have our genital prime, which is when our genitals are going to do their best for procreation. Who cares about that unless you're trying to have a baby? But the rest of us who aren't or don't or whatever, we're worrying about our sexual prime, not our genital prime, our sexual prime, which should increase as we age because we get more familiar with who we are, what we want, how to ask for things. So that's an important part of it. Now, remember, we always want to do everything ethically. So part of surviving hookup culture is looking at how things impact us and also how they impact our sexual partners. And so we do want to take that into consideration. And that's part of that survival piece, is how do I feel about what I'm participating in? And that's when we bring in Dr. D's favorite before, during, and after. How do I feel before? How do I feel during? And how do I feel after? The sex act, sex with that partner, and in general. When I'm on my way over, or when I'm imagining them coming over, checking in on how I feel. During, is this what I want? Does this feel good? Do I need to stop? Do I need to ask for something to be different? And then how do I feel afterwards? Is it that I have to work through my own sex shame? Is it something that came up because of my partner choice, or because of the kind of sex we're having, or what we're having? Those are what you want to check in as part of that, because thriving in hookup culture is about not letting this negatively impact you, not having sex or sex with partners that shame you, make you feel bad, make you not feel desirable. In fact, it should be the opposite. We should be asking for what we want, practicing asking for what we want, practicing saying no, practicing saying I've changed my mind, practicing saying I've always wanted to try. That's the beautiful part of this. So really lean into that. That's a really, really important part of surviving hookup culture, is really considering the mental health aspect of it. making sure it's ethical, but again, making sure it has a positive impact on us. And if not, it might be what you're doing, it might be who you're doing it with, or it might be your own frame of reference that you're applying. Are you shaming yourself? Are you listening to messages from family members and friends saying that it's not okay to have sex outside of a healthy relationship? You're allowed to have anonymous sex. You're allowed to have non-relational sex. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. That is not what the problem is. The problem is when we're doing things we're not comfortable doing, when we're allowing our boundaries to be pushed, when we're not checking in with ourselves. The best time to have sex is when you feel like you want to have sex. And that's part of thriving in hookup culture, is understanding what's possible. Not having sex because you think you're going to date that person or fall in love. In fact, hookup culture is about being freed from the confines of that. So that's why one of the more important things is always going to be, drumroll, checking in on your intentions. Why are you doing this? And really making sure that it's a valid reason. Why are you choosing the partners you're choosing? Why are you choosing the kind of sex you want to have? What is your goal? Is your goal to learn and grow? Is your goal diversity and creativity? Is your goal relationship? It doesn't promise anything. It could. It often does maybe lead to more a friendship, a continued friends with benefits, relationship, maybe some romance after, but it doesn't promise those things. And I say that to everyone who's going to have sex for the first time. Congratulations. It's your sexual debut. I don't use the word virginity. It's pathologized. It's stigmatized. It's your sexual debut. You're finally entering the sexual realm. Congratulations. Welcome. Stay in it. But you don't enter it or have sex for the first time because you think it'll be forever or you think it'll be for love, because that's rarely the case. Most people will have multiple sex partners throughout the duration of their life. That's a good thing. More experience, more pleasure, more fun, more boundaries, more communication. There's nothing wrong with that. But get your intentions in check. Understand why. Then another part of thriving is being willing and confident talking about sexual health and wellness practices. You are not mature enough or ready to have sex if you're not able to ask another person, when's last time you're tested for STDs or STIs? Is there anything I need to be aware of? And also able to talk about all the different sexual protective mechanisms. So do your research, understand what's possible, understand what's out there. Understand what PrEP is, understand what condoms are, understand which ones are more effective and for what. But again, more importantly, know what you need, but also make sure you're able to ask these other partners. And if you're actively participating in hookup culture, you should be getting an STD test, depending on how active you are, at least every 6 months. But it really depends on how many partners you're having and what kind of safer sex practices you're employing and bringing in. All of that's an important part of it. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about ways to thrive in hookup culture, because it doesn't have to be something that leaves us feeling worse off, more lonely, more depressed. It should be something that brings joy, is enhancing, makes us feel better about ourselves, makes us have more hope, more desirability. And they'll be closing out with some DMs. So if you got a DM for us, drop in the DMs on our Love Line at GPH. Questions, topics, things you want us to hit, things you want us to cover, and past episodes of the show. Always over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Love Line, and click on it. You can binge, post, re-listen, and share. Lots of good stuff over there. And check out maybe some of the other shows while you're there. But stick around. We'll be back. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be back. Right, y'all, we are back and talking about how to survive in hookup culture. What? I know, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to make us feel better about ourselves, our bodies, our sexuality, sex with others, not negative. Check in on that. What do you need to change? The way you're going about it, the expectations you have, the people, the things you're doing, all that matters. Also, know your STD, STI status. You have to be getting tested. And also, you have to be willing to ask others, when's the last time you got tested? What were the results? And you have to understand sexual health and wellness practices. What kind of protective mechanisms are you taking? Are they taking? It's adult conversations. You have to be able to talk about these things. The next thing we have to consider is people's feelings, ours and others. We are not doing this to harm others. People are in our care when we're socializing with them, relating to them, having sex with them. I don't care if it's a one-time fling. I don't care if it's a hookup. I don't care if it's with, as I always say, in a back alley, you can't see their face. You don't need to know their name. You'll never see them again. You still have to have care and respect. You do want to make sure you're not negatively impacting anyone. And that's why it's always about consent and compassion. But in hookup culture, sometimes we let ourselves off the hook ethically by saying it's a friends with benefits, or it's a hookup, or it's a trick, or it's just an app. Don't take it seriously, or it's just a fling. Oh my God, we are impacted. We do move forward in the world feeling better or worse off about ourselves. Same thing for the partner, whether we realize it or not. It reinforces or it undoes a message we might have about the safety of others, how we feel about sex, how we feel about our bodies. All of it matters. And that's why I'm telling you, be thoughtful about the impact it's having, but also care about your partners. It doesn't mean you're going to marry them or be in a relationship with them, but you can still check in and offer care. That's an important part of it. Knowing, and that means knowing boundaries, your boundaries and their boundaries. And if someone seems like they're not doing well or not really feeling in the moment, check in on them. Maybe you've crossed a boundary. Maybe they allowed a boundary to be crossed. So ask them about that. It's okay to say, how's this feeling? Are you enjoying yourself? That's also what a good sex partner does anyway. How does that feel? What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What do you want me to do? We ask these questions. It's a really, 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 really important part of it is reminding yourself that there's another human being there. Because a lot of times what can happen in hookup culture is some people enter it really from a one down position, in a position of people pleasing, where they're letting the other person run it based on what they want. And maybe that's your thing. Maybe you're submissive and you're all about, hey, whatever's hot for you is what I want. But maybe you're not. And someone's wanting something that you're not down for, interested in. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say some of that, but I need to make some changes, because your pleasure matters too. In fact, it's your responsibility to ask for what you want and to focus on your pleasure and to make requests. Hey, more of that, less of that, do that more, do that harder. That is on you. And so make sure you are vocalizing, speaking up, vocalizing, saying yes, saying no. All of that is really, really, really important. And so that's why part of thriving in hookup culture is being able to set boundaries. But first you have to know what your boundaries might be, which is why sex is a developmental process. You're learning where your work is. You're learning what's hard for you. You're learning what's easy for you. You're learning how to actually speak in these terms. This is some part of us that's never mirrored otherwise. And yet we're somehow supposed to be able to manage and navigate it confidently, but yet we never get a chance to practice. And then if we are, because we're out there dating and hooking up and learning about ourselves, learning about sex, sometimes we then get slut shamed, where people are like, oh, she's loose, she's easy. No, she's confident and she's exploring and she's figuring out and she's learning and she's going through developmental milestones. Let's stop shaming people for having more sex than we're comfortable with. Because remember, when you call someone slutty, you're actually talking about yourself. What you're really saying is, I'm uncomfortable with the amount of sex that this person's having. And instead of dealing with my discomfort and maybe just keeping my mouth closed, I'm trying to project it onto them and shame them. I want them to stop having that kind of sex because I'm uncomfortable and I don't know how to regulate myself or be more sex positive. So I'm going to put a pathological label on what they're doing. No, we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing that to ourselves. As long as you're having ethical sex, that is in service of what you want, you're not harming yourself, you are asking the questions you need to ask, and it's centered in pleasure and fun, all is well. Some people have a higher sex drive. Some people have more free time. Some people have more energy, but there's nothing wrong with that. Is there a darker side to it? Yeah, and that's what today's topic is about. Don't have sex to make someone happy. Don't have sex so as to not lose a relationship. Don't have sex to be popular. Don't have sex to be liked. Don't have sex because you don't know what else to offer someone. None of that is mental health centered. Have sex because you are aware of what's happening, because you know what you want, because you want fun and pleasure, because you want to connect and a level of intimacy with this person. Those are the more viable, rational reasons, but we're not slut shaming. Because practice is where we learn. This is how we better understand who we are within these contexts. And this isn't something that we're innately born with, which is why people that are all about abstinence only and waiting until sex, until marriage, those people tend to have higher rates of STDs, STIs, teen pregnancy, assault, because they don't know how to set boundaries. They don't know how to communicate in these terms. They don't know what forms of protection are available. They don't have the confidence to get tested or ask someone when they were. There's an elementariness and a naivety because they haven't gone through the developmental milestones of relationality and sexuality, which is a learned process. And like we talk about all the time, sex ed doesn't train you that. All they say is don't get pregnant, don't get sick, here's how you protect yourself. And it's like, well, what about asking for what feels good? What about sexual communication? What about identifying where in our body we want to be touched or not touched? That's all practice. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about how to survive in hookup culture, which is really just about better sex education. It's really about sexual empowerment. It's really about sex positivity. It's really about using sex to grow and enhance ourselves as opposed to the opposite. Because we live in a culture that's very phobic, very negative, always shaming it. And we tend to see it as only acceptable when in a committed relationship, which is how the bulk of us are actually not doing it. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not what's happening generally in our culture. So stick around for that, and then we'll be closing out with some DMs. So if you got a DM for us, drop it in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Questions, topics, things you want us to circle back to. Past episodes, always over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, reshare, and listen. Lots of great stuff, because there's a lot for us to unlearn, but then we got to relearn. We got to undo and then relearn, unlearn to relearn. Repetition is really important for that, practice as well. So anyway, stick around. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, we are back, and we're just finishing up our discussion on ways to thrive in hookup culture. Why? Because it's not hookup culture that's a problem. It's the way we enter it. It's our intentions. We might go in there expecting more than it offers. It's just about really learning about ourselves, exploring our sexuality. Maybe you're not ready for a relationship. Maybe you just came out of one. Maybe you are open to one, and you're open to things going further. But really just know what you're looking for and know what's possible, and that's where the boundaries part come in. But also, I want to remind people about this aftercare piece. You know, some clients I work with after anonymous sex or hookups or hookup culture, they sometimes feel a little empty or depressed afterwards. And that can be because it's a very intimate experience and very connected. And then a lot of people after orgasm, they bounce. It's okay to say, hey, I'm open to this, that, and the other thing. I also would love some aftercare. Can we talk a little bit afterwards? Can we have a cup of coffee? Can we go for a walk? It's not saying I want to marry or be your partner, but it's a really odd transition in and an odd transition out. And I think it does a disservice where it's like, door open, come on in, you hook up and then they leave. Yeah. That's going to be a hard transition out of that relational intimate moment. And I think we need to honor and move our way in slower, move our way out slower. I think it's okay to ask for aftercare, some form of connection afterwards. It doesn't have to be ongoing. But I think that that's an important part of it. And I also want to remind everyone, as I keep holding us accountable to the way we impact ourselves and others, that we're moving into a beautiful time of more creativity and diversity around sexual orientation and sexual expression and gender. And so make no assumptions about people's bodies. We do want to ask questions. What are they interested in? What are the words they use for their different body parts? With people being non-binary and people being trans, we can't make assumptions about the kind of sex they'll want or even, again, the terms they'll use for their anatomy. So we have to ask those questions. What pronouns do they use? What body parts do they like engage? What are the words they use for their body parts? What might be potential triggers? We want to know that. We want to offer that, but we also want to be asking people that, along with their sexual health practices and STI and STD status. We want to also understand that some people's gender expression might be, they might have a penis, but not refer to it as such. They might have a vagina, but not refer to it as such. Some people prefer to call their vagina the front hole versus the back hole. Some people don't use the word clitoris or penis. They have other terms, or they're interchangeable. So we do want to ask that. And also remember that we want to have a sense of care. That's what that is about. I think it's also important to not expect people to have certain safer sex practices. I want that to be discussed ahead of time, but you never know. So maybe you want to roll in with your own lube, your own condoms, things like that. I also think it's important in today's culture with technology that you maybe let someone know where you're going. I think it can be unsafe to just show up at a stranger's house or have a stranger come over. I also offer that as a protective mechanism for clients of mine that are sex workers or friends that are sex workers. Have that friend that will know why you're texting them and won't ask any questions or shame you. And you can send them whatever information you have, the address you're going to. Maybe you can drop your PIN. You can maybe have a location service. You can send a name or a photo, whatever you have, saying this is where I'm going. Letting someone know where you are. And then finally, I would say we want to make sure we're checking in with our intuition. If something doesn't feel good or feel right, practice being able to say no, or I'm going to leave now, or let's call it a night, or that isn't something that feels good. And then that ties into the idea of being thoughtful about your drug and alcohol use. It's very easy for us to not be able to honor our own boundaries or the boundaries of someone else if we're heavily intoxicated, especially if we have anxiety or shame about stepping into the hookup. So we want to make sure we're focusing on pleasure. It's supposed to be fun for them and for us. So keep checking in on that. But if you're getting too intoxicated, call it a night. I would advise not necessarily involving a lot of that, but that can be in there. But again, we're not there trying to make someone happier to please someone. This is about us as well. So we want to keep checking in with ourselves. I want us to come out of these kinds of dynamics feeling good and intact, not more harm. So know what your limits are, know what your triggers are, know what you're in there looking for, know what it is you don't want, and be prepared to ask for that. Everyone enters sex and relationships with a different history and a different set of knowledge and a different level of comfort and confidence and familiarity. And so we're kind of learning about ourselves, but we're also learning about other people. And then a final thing I would just throw in there is we never know how we're going to feel upon arrival. And so it's okay to say what we're talking about sounds good, but I wanted to see what the chemistry is and let chemistry dictate and be willing to disappoint or let someone down. If upon arrival, you realize this isn't what I wanted, this isn't what I thought, or what I thought I might be interested has shifted or changed. That in fact is part of healthy sexuality, co-creating it with someone based on how you feel that day. There should always be a little bit of shift in us based on our relationship to ourselves, our mood, what else is going on. So just allow for that, be open to that. And that's that. That's how we thrive. You know, drop in the DMs some thoughts about that. I'd love to know what y'all think. But coming up next, we're going to be DMing. So if you've got a question for us, topic you want us to hit, something you want us to drop deeper into, put it in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Love hearing from y'all. And past episodes of the show are always over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, re-listen, and share. Lots of good stuff because it's all about the repetition and the practice. Like I always say, a lot to unlearn. Got to learn some new norms, values, and perspectives. So don't go anywhere, though. We'll be back, and we're going to drop in those DMs, helping you as we're helping other people. So don't just be a taker. You know, if you're a loyal listener, put some of your own questions in there. All right, y'all, stick around. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere. All right, y'all, we are back, and now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
DMs come from our Loveline IG page. This one says, "Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm having trouble with social media right now. It's draining me every time I log on, but I feel like if I don't get my news updates, I'm doing myself a disservice and I'm not informed. It's just that lately, being informed is exhausting. How do I stay informed while not draining myself? Isn't that the million-dollar question that we're all wondering?" So basically a couple thoughts. Yes, our mental health is going to be tied to our social media use, and more importantly, what it is that we are looking at. So I would say this. First off, I want everyone to just clean up their social media. Unfollow all the mess. Unfollow all the things that make you feel bad. Unfollow all the things that don't speak to who you want to be as a person. Have your media feed maybe just be news. But here's the thing. You don't need to go on social media to get your news. You can type in the web address in Google or your search bar of a respected website that gives you news. You don't need to be scrolling through all the ads and all the influencer crap that comes up so you can see, you know, whatever news channel you value has what they've posted about. Go directly to that. That's what I do. I watch the news on television, or I go on my laptop or my iPhone and I type in, you know, whoever you prioritize news-wise, you know, type in CNN or whatever, and just look at the damn news. Set a timer. Spend a certain amount of time, 15 or 20 minutes perusing with the news, and then get off there. If you're feeling bad or anxious after looking at the news, go do something that's anchoring or rooted in self-care. It's really about modulating and working with your nervous system, doing grounding things, depending on how dysregulated you get. But news is available outside of your Instagram or Twitter feed, and you don't need to have to look at all the other mess that comes up. I appreciate that. I follow really positive things. I don't follow influencers. I don't follow celebrities. I don't follow body shaming things. Like, I don't need that mess in my brain. Nonetheless, it's still forced on me sometimes. So I really pretty much don't really look at my feed anymore. I just go directly to the sites that have what I'm looking for. And if it's news, there are tons of amazing news sites. Go directly to it. All right, we got time for another one. Let's see. "Hey, Dr. Chris, I've been with my partner for about 5 months now, officially. They're already talking about getting married and kids, just not there yet. And I'm not even sure if that's what I want. We're great on every other level, but should I break it off early because our long-term goals aren't the same? See, I'm always on the fence about this because, again, remember, how you feel now is not how you'll feel later. People change. However, we do have to hear what they tell us now. So if someone says they never want kids, you got to hear them. They're saying that. But I also say sometimes their minds change once they are in a better, healthier, more functional relationship or whatever the case is. Having said that, 5 months in, you don't know this person and they don't know you. Why? Because we have to go through multiple experiences with someone to understand what we're like as a unit. And if you're thinking about having children dear God in heaven, take the time to go through multiple experiences with your partner to see what you're like as a unit. What do you guys like during conflict? Have you had conflict yet? And have you managed it well? If you haven't had conflict yet, wait till you do and see how you manage it. And if you have and you don't manage it well, you are not ready to take on any more complexity. Own that with your partner. Hey, babe, we haven't had enough conflict yet to know how we manage that. And that's important. Hey, babe, we don't manage conflict well. And until we learn how to do that, we are not ready for a kid. Or be honest, I'm not ready yet. I don't know you well. I want more time, or I want more time of us being together. You don't have to follow your partner's lead. Self-define. I'm so thankful to know where you're at. I'm not there yet. I love you. We're 5 months in. I'm not even ready to talk about that yet, and say maybe a year in we will. And then it's on your partner to decide what they want to do. You don't have to be led by them or on their time clock. Just self-define, say where you're at, what you're looking for and what you need, and then they get to decide whether or not they want to stay and be a part of this. But again, we don't know someone that early in. We're usually still, or at least winding down from just being guided and led by chemistry. Compatibility takes time to assess, to see what are we like as a unit or during holidays? What are we like as a unit during tough times? What are we like as a unit when we're spending time with our family members? You don't know all that 5 months in. People sometimes are rushing it because they think they need to achieve certain milestones, and they're not really paying attention to the relationship. It's more about what they can get and what they can get to. So back them down, slow them down, and really self-define and set boundaries around all that. It's way too soon. Way too soon. I work with some couples that are a year, two, or three in, and they still don't know how to have deep, intimate relationships. They still don't know how to have difficult conversations, and they still don't manage, or they don't know how to manage conflict. 5 months in, I don't think y'all do either. All right, y'all, that is our show. Be kind to yourselves, be kind to those around you. Past episodes is over at wearechannelq.com. Thanks for hanging out, y'all. You enjoy the rest of your night. Good night, everybody. All right, y'all, we are back, and now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
DMs come from our Loveline IG page. This one says, hey, Dr. Chris, I'm having trouble with social media right now. It's draining me every time I log on, but I feel like if I don't get my news updates, I'm doing myself a disservice and I'm not informed. It's just that lately, being informed is exhausting. How do I stay informed while not draining myself? Isn't that the million-dollar question that we're all wondering? So basically a couple thoughts. Yes, our mental health is going to be tied to our social media use, and more importantly, what it is that we are looking at. So I would say this. First off, I want everyone to just clean up their social media. Unfollow all the mess. Unfollow all the things that make you feel bad. Unfollow all the things that don't speak to who you want to be as a person. Have your media feed maybe just be news. But here's the thing. You don't need to go on social media to get your news. You can type in the web address in Google or your search bar of a respected website that gives you news. You don't need to be scrolling through all the ads and all the influencer crap that comes up so you can see, you know, whatever news channel you value has what they've posted about. Go directly to that. That's what I do. I watch the news on television, or I go on my laptop or my iPhone and I type in, you know, whoever you prioritize news-wise, you know, type in CNN or whatever, and just look at the damn news. Set a timer. Spend a certain amount of time, 15 or 20 minutes perusing with the news, and then get off there. If you're feeling bad or anxious after looking at the news, go do something that's anchoring or rooted in self-care. It's really about modulating and working with your nervous system, doing grounding things, depending on how dysregulated you get. But news is available outside of your Instagram or Twitter feed, and you don't need to have to look at all the other mess that comes up. I appreciate that. I follow really positive things. I don't follow influencers. I don't follow celebrities. I don't follow body shaming things. Like, I don't need that mess in my brain. Nonetheless, it's still forced on me sometimes. So I really pretty much don't really look at my feed anymore. I just go directly to the sites that have what I'm looking for. And if it's news, there are tons of amazing news sites. Go directly to it. All right, we got time for another one. Let's see. Hey, Dr. Chris, I've been with my partner for about 5 months now, officially. They're already talking about getting married and kids, just not there yet. And I'm not even sure if that's what I want. We're great on every other level, but should I break it off early because our long-term goals aren't the same? See, I'm always on the fence about this because, again, remember, how you feel now is not how you'll feel later. People change. However, we do have to hear what they tell us now. So if someone says they never want kids, you got to hear them. They're saying that. But I also say sometimes their minds change once they are in a better, healthier, more functional relationship or whatever the case is. Having said that, 5 months in, you don't know this person and they don't know you. Why? Because we have to go through multiple experiences with someone to understand what we're like as a unit. And if you're thinking about having children, dear God in heaven, take the time to go through multiple experiences with your partner to see what you're like as a unit. What do you guys like during conflict? Have you had conflict yet? And have you managed it well? If you haven't had conflict yet, wait till you do and see how you manage it. And if you have and you don't manage it well, you are not ready to take on any more complexity. Own that with your partner. Hey, babe, we haven't had enough conflict yet to know how we manage that. And that's important. Hey, babe, we don't manage conflict well. And until we learn how to do that, we are not ready for a kid. Or be honest, I'm not ready yet. I don't know you well. I want more time, or I want more time of us being together. You don't have to follow your partner's lead. Self-define. I'm so thankful to know where you're at. I'm not there yet. I love you. We're 5 months in. I'm not even ready to talk about that yet, and say maybe a year in we will. And then it's on your partner to decide what they want to do. You don't have to be led by them or on their time clock. Just self-define, say where you're at, what you're looking for, and what you need, and then they get to decide whether or not they want to stay and be a part of this. But again, we don't know someone that early in. We're usually still, or at least winding down from just being guided and led by chemistry. Compatibility takes time to assess, to see what are we like as a unit or during holidays? What are we like as a unit during tough times? What are we like as a unit when we're spending time with our family members? You don't know all that 5 months in. People sometimes are rushing it because they think they need to achieve certain milestones, and they're not really paying attention to the relationship. It's more about what they can get and what they can get to. So back them down, slow them down, and really self-define and set boundaries around all that. It's way too soon. Way too soon. I work with some couples that are a year, two, or three in, and they still don't know how to have deep, intimate relationships. They still don't know how to have difficult conversations, and they still don't manage, or they don't know how to manage conflict. 5 months in, I don't think y'all do either. All right, y'all, that is our show. Be kind to yourselves, be kind to those around you. Past episodes is over at wearechannelq.com. Thanks for hanging out, y'all. You enjoy the rest of your night. Good night, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!